Amen. Thank you, Biggie. Good morning. Man, I trust and pray everybody is doing great on this Lord's Day. It looks like, at least we've got some sunshine for right now, but that doesn't mean that in a few minutes it won't turn off and rain. That's what kind of the pattern we've been in lately, hadn't it? So, man, we're so glad you're here. Look around, give somebody a wave that says, hey, I'm glad you're here. I don't want to share germs or anything with you, but I'm tickled to death that you're here in the house of the Lord today to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And if you're part of our online audience, we welcome you today. And as always, we just get you to say hello to our very own Dr. Cazito, who is your voice in the presence of Central Baptist Church. So don't ever think you're not part of our church family. There's somebody there that can answer questions for you each and every time that we have this opportunity. I want to take just a quick moment before we get started to say a very special thank you. There's a lot of moving parts and pieces to a worship service or anything else, so much more than a lot of folks even know. As you know, last week, you know, we had some issues of a switch, and I'm using the terminology that I pretty much don't know anything about, but we had a switch meltdown, and that's why we had to essentially video record last week's service and then put it up. But we got the switch, got it fixed, and a little while later, it went down again. So it was fixed again, then it went down again. There was just some, like, programming issues. So two of our guys, you know, Tim and Don, were here till about 2 o'clock this morning trying to make sure all the I's were dotted and T's were crossed so that we had that opportunity to be able to reach out to a worldwide audience. And I'm grateful and thankful for them and all the hard work that they put in. So that's just one of the gears that kind of helps us to continue to keep going forward and keep rolling. Particularly on a day like today, you'll notice that we've got the Lord's Supper. There are folks pretty much all over the world that will be joining us today as we observe the Lord's Supper. They're joining us as we take these times and moments to gather around God's Word. And believe it or not, you know, when we're not on the air, as it were, I'll get messages and emails and, hey, I missed you. Was something wrong? Is it my device? All these different things. So, again, we're grateful for those that work hard, use their talents and abilities for the services that we have and what we're able to be able to put out there. So, at any rate, we're glad you're here today. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together this morning. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity. Lord, you bless us in so many ways, and Father, we pray that we never have to be in a situation that we lose something, particularly our opportunity to gather as your children. Help us never to have to lose that to appreciate it. And Lord, I'm also grateful and thankful that your word truly is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as we come into your house today, Father, we realize that our calendars are full, our schedules are full. Many of us have so many things that are even going to be going on today that are crowding our hearts and our minds right now. And I just pray, Father, for these next few moments that you will help us to just take a deep breath and decompress a little bit and be attentive to what the Spirit will say to us today. Father, your word tells us that if we have gathered together, you're in our midst. And Lord, we know you have a word that is personal for each and every one of us today. And I pray that we will be diligent to seek you out through your word, through prayer, through every aspect of worship that we do today. May our whole heart be in it. And Lord, may our mind and our loyalties not be divided for these next few moments as we lift up our voices to sing praises to your name. Lord, as we gather around your word to learn and to be discipled, Lord, I just pray that you will speak to our hearts, that we will truly be able to say when we leave this place that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. So, Father, again, help us. Help us as we worship you today, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand with me as we sing The Solid Rock, 406.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, the Lord.
love to tell a story. Roy mentioned that in the sermon last week, and I thought we'll sing that this week. Page 572.
I trust that that is our prayer today as we have gathered in the house of the Lord and just pray, Lord, open our eyes. You've got a word for us that comes from your word, and it's tailor-made. Too many times people say, oh, well, I wish I wish so-and-so was here. I wish my wife was here. I wish my husband was here. I wish somebody was here to hear this other than me, because obviously that message couldn't be for me. But let me promise you, it is for each and every one of us. But today, we do want to take just a moment to recognize a very, very special lady in our midst, one that we've had a chance to watch grow up, and one that I am so grateful that she has those in her life that love her and support her. And it's going to be a very special day coming up. I think it's, what is it, on the 11th, I believe, is when graduation is going to be on the 11th. And I'm going to get Ava, come on up here and join me, Ava. You know, everybody gets to look at you. You get to stand up here with me and help improve my image a little bit, because I need all the help that I can get. But just to let you know a little bit about Ava, of course, she is the daughter of Scott and Ashley Troxler, as you see right back there, and the granddaughter of Randy and Sandy Stewart. So you know somebody gets the opportunity to keep Randy and Sandy in line. Right here is the one. You know, she knows exactly how to keep them in order. Ava is going to be graduating from Northwest High School on the 11th, and I want to tell you about a really, really special award that she is going to be getting coming up at the awards assembly leading into graduation. Now, I would like to tell you about what that is, but we don't know what it is yet, do we? We just know she's going to be getting an award and an achievement, and I like to mention awards and achievements, but we don't know what it is, so I think it's going to be a really good surprise, and I will guarantee you that whatever it is it's well worth it, and Ava deserves that. Now, I also want to say this. I think that she is doing something that is incredibly wise as she heads into the next chapter in her life. She is actually going to be attending a GTCC. Now, I know it says medical stenography is what you're going to head into, right? Okay. Now, the really cool part about that is, and I would say for anybody going for upper education, some people may want to throw stones at me, but take the time to utilize your community colleges and you can get 2 years worth of schooling out of the way, and particularly if you're going to transfer to a four-year school. The cost savings is incredible on that, and I know that if Ava winds up going to a four-year school, she will already have gotten everything out of the way at a greatly reduced price, as it were. People don't think about that until after they graduate and those student loans come due, and they go, Lord have mercy. And for the next 30 years, it's almost like a mortgage or a car payment. But at any rate, we are so proud of her. We are so looking forward to what the Lord is going to do in her life. And we've got a little something just to show our appreciation and our congratulations to Miss Ava. I've always said this. Just know that this doesn't take batteries. It doesn't have to be charged up or anything else. And on behalf of Central Baptist Church, I've always said one of the greatest things that I can ever remember receiving at my graduation, my high school graduation, was a Bible, a copy of the Word of God. It doesn't have to be turned on. I know people use electronic devices. I use them as well. But there's nothing like having that in hand. And I wrote a little message to you, but I'm going to tell you right now, I will put it in your Bible, but I didn't want to break the seal on your Bible before you did. So I will write, it's in there, what I'm going to write in it, but I'll give it to you in just a little bit. But Ava, we love you. We are so proud of you. Would you show your congratulations to Ava as she undertakes this next step in her journey? What a wonderful young lady. I look forward to what God has in store for her future. And I know that she is one of those people who is happy. Now, Mom and Dad may disagree with me along the way, but Scott, I always know that she's had you wrapped around her finger since the day she drew her first breath. Thank God, brother. I appreciate that in you, and I appreciate the way that Ava has been raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, I'm not making her out to be perfect, because obviously none of us are, but I will say this. She has the best head start of a lot of folks in this world today with the fact that she has been raised with godly parents and grandparents and folks in her life that tell her the truth, even when the truth sometimes hurts. So, all right, today we're going to be looking at some passages that come out of the book of Exodus chapter 4, and to me, they are directly related to what we're talking about today, as we have come together to celebrate Ava, as well as others that will be graduating. And this is a message that's not just for graduates. It's one of those messages that really hits home, because graduates find themselves essentially on the cusp of a new chapter in their life. Now, I can remember, actually, it was 41 years ago on this day that I graduated from high school. That makes me sound a little older when I say it that way, 41 years ago. But I still remember, even being somebody who was a very confident person, and even somebody who was looking forward to embracing the next chapter in my life, it was still a little bit intimidating, because all of a sudden things were going to be different. All I had known my whole life was get up, be at school at 8 o'clock. Yes, we had to be in class at 8 o'clock, and we went to like 3:30, and you know, that was all I had ever really known. I knew the footloose and fancy free, pretty much had no responsibilities, as it were, as most students at that particular age. But life was going to change after that graduation. Now, some people would sit back and say, well, life may not change that much for some people because they're going to continue to go on to college. Let me tell you that if you do that, let me promise you, life is going to change as you know it. Even if you're going to continue your education through college, if you are not, and the Lord has called you into the workforce, and I thank God for those that He does that for as well, your life is going to change. You are going to be given more responsibilities. You are going to be given more accountability along the way. So yeah, there's one of two things we can do. We can either cower at the opportunity, or we can embrace the next step in the journey along the way. And today, you know, we're celebrating this milestone with Ava, and particularly with the graduates as they step into the next chapter of their lives that are filled with opportunities as well as challenges. I always like to say it this way. You know, sometimes people sit back and say, I'll tell you one thing, this is tough and these are challenges. Convert the challenges into opportunities. You know, it's like that old expression, you know, God's the type of a God that if you hand Him lemons, He'll hand you back a glass of good old sweet lemonade on a hot day. So we need to be able to look at that next phase in life, accept challenges. Now, I said this is a message for all of us. Not all of us are graduating. Some of us, that was a long, long time ago, but life is going to continue to throw different challenges at you. Some of you at times in your life maybe have had to switch gears and go into a new job opportunity or something that was completely different from what you had done before. And you realize how intimidating at times those things could be. So God's word in this message today is relevant to each and every one of us, even though all of us are not graduating from high school or college or trade school today. But today we want to explore God's provision during the uncertain times. Now, I mentioned a moment ago as part of my personal testimony, I was a very confident person, you know, and I was embracing the journeys. But when it came to the next step in my life, I was like, wow, you know, I don't know if I'm ready for this. There was a nervousness that I had never had before. And today we're going to see that same thing in light of the scriptures, that a new opportunity was looming on the horizon. And here's the interesting part about it. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. That's what I always love to tell graduates. It's when it comes to the point where God has given you something. He's given you certain gifts. He's given you talents and abilities, and He wants you to use them for Him. Yeah, people oftentimes will sit back and, particularly people who don't know that maybe I'm a pastor, and they'll say, well, where do you work? And my response to them is generally, well, I don't have a job. I have a calling. I say I'm a pastor of a church, and I believe with all of my heart that when you are where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, particularly when it comes down to vocation, you will never work a single day in your life. You will get up every day and you will embrace that. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be challenges. That doesn't mean that there won't be those people that make you think of things that don't please Jesus that you work with on a daily basis. But the bottom line is, every day of your life, when you are in the center of God's will, doing what God has called you to do, it is a true blessing. You know, I sat back and was thinking about this. Matter of fact, as I was getting this message together, and I said to somebody the other day, they were asking me, they said, well, how long have you personally been in full-time ministry? And I said, well, let me think. And I said, you know, it's been 33 years since I surrendered to that call. And that was following a stint in a vocation, which I believe God put me there for plenty of reasons. And then what was so funny was the person told me this. They said, 33 years, most people retire after 33 years at a job. And my response was, preachers don't get to retire. We just, the Lord may move us to something different, but we don't retire. We just go home. That's what we do. We may not be pastors of churches and associate pastors and staff members anymore, but we will still be doing something in the ministry. God can move us around. Look with me, if you would, today. We're going to look at an example in Exodus chapter 4 of this is particularly when God was calling Moses. He said, you're going to be the guy that is going to lead Israel out of Egypt. And remember where he was. You know, Moses had pretty much relegated his life to tending sheep down there in Midian. He felt like, well, this is all I'm worth. This is all I'm good for. He had already had a few kind of run-ins when he was back in Egypt. We know he was raised in Pharaoh's home as Pharaoh's own son, as it were, or I'll say Pharaoh's grandson. If you remember, Pharaoh's daughter's the one who retrieved him from the basket out of the river. And yet he was raised, had the best of everything, but he winds up, you know, killing a Hebrew because his mama had always taught him what was good and what was wholesome and what was right when it came down specifically to who he was as one of the children of God. Now, because he did that and somebody knew about it, he had fled. God was not done with him yet. God had a plan and God had a purpose for him. In the same manner, God has a plan and a purpose for you and I. If you are living, if you are breathing, if you can hear the sound of my voice, God has a plan for you. Do you hear me? I hear too many people who sit back and say, well, I'm nothing and I'm nobody. Don't you believe that for a minute? That is a lie straight from the pits of hell, from the devil. God has got something valuable for you to do. And here's the interesting part. Nobody but you can do that. See, that's what gets me excited. I think about what the next steps for Ava will be. God's going to put her in some place that she can do something that only she can do for the honor, the glory, and the will of God. And the same holds true for you and I. So let's look in on the conversation that God is having with Moses as he is calling him to be the one to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, in essence, let my people go. Exodus chapter 4, beginning with verse 2, says, so the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand, and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again, and he drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be that if they do not believe you nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe that the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you will help us to open our minds today to hear the lesson that the Holy Spirit has for each and every one of us today. Lord, just simply bless our time together as only you can. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. See, folks, in Exodus chapter 4, you know, God is in the process of calling Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. And the problem is, at this particular point, Moses is filled with doubts. He is filled with fear. He is filled with the fact that he does not feel like he has the abilities or the capabilities to pull off what it is that God is calling him to do. Okay, you know, how many times have you been in a situation where you're saying to yourself, how on earth am I going to pull this off? You know, it's funny because I've listened to a couple of stories, you know, particularly when you've got somebody that's going into a situation, and particularly with two of the guys sitting over here, that one was there, you know, was a little bit more of a veteran, and another guy comes along. And when you get those rookies, obviously they have some fun with the rookies, but bottom line is those guys are a little unsure. They've been through the training. Man, they can slide down the fire pole. They can pull that hose out. They can do all these wonderful things. But when the house is on fire and the chips are down, there's a little bit of nervousness that comes along because they hadn't quite done that before. They want to make sure they do it right because lives depend on them doing the right thing in the right situation. So there's that nervousness, and I'm sure that maybe you along the way, some of us in here that are adults, there have been times when you have questioned your own ability to do whatever it is that God, you feel like God had called you to do. I can still remember my very first day in the office as a youth pastor, my very first day in full-time ministry. I had come from being a student to being a police officer, riding around in a patrol car, and I had something for the first time in my life. I had an office. Never had an office before. It was a car. I drove around in it. That was my office before. And I still remember, I got everything set up. Everything was really good. And I still remember the very first thing that I did like it was yesterday. I sat down behind that desk, and I bowed my head, and I prayed. And I said, God, I don't have any idea what to do next. I need your help. I don't know how to go forward. And I know that I'm not supposed to sit here behind this desk, but you've got something for me to do. So Lord, I need you to show me. And God began to show me, you know, step by step. Now I'm going to tell you this, and here's the hard part for us. It's the hard part for graduates. It will be a difficult part for Ava. When you go to God and you say, Lord, I am here to do what it is that you want me to do. Just tell me what you want me to do. And God says, I'll show you. I'll tell you. One step at a time. See, we like the plan to be laid out, don't we? Yeah, that's me. You know, I'll sit there and say, hey, look, what do you want me to do? Well, I want you to do this over here. Now, it's like, no, I know what you want me to do now, but what is the end game on this? What is the whole story? Oh, you'll see it come together. Don't you hate it when people do that? I mean, how many of y'all are like me? You want to know start to finish. You want to know the A to the Z. Yeah, and you don't want somebody to say, well, I'll just tell you as we go. You know, and when you're sitting there going, well, okay, well, what do we do? You know, if we're going to pave something, I'll be like, Mark, what are we going to do here? Mark says, well, I'll show you as we go. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, well, we're going to start here. We're going to do this. We're going to put this much asphalt down. We're going to come around here. We're going to go all the way up to the front, and then we're going to do this and that and the other thing. And I go, oh, yeah, man, I'm just loving life when I hear that. Not, it'll be all right. They're going to come in here. We'll show you. No. I want you to tell me now. And see, we get that way with God. God, I want you to tell me now from start to finish. What does it look like? You know, what is the start of my career look like? And what does the middle look like? And what does the end look like? I want to know that. Honestly, you really don't want to know all that. When it comes down to it, you don't want to know all that. But God's wanting you to trust him one day at a time, one step at a time. In Exodus 4, You know, I'm picturing what it must have been like for Moses when he's sitting there going, remember, he started making excuses. Lord, I can't do this. I don't speak well. You got the wrong guy. Can you imagine telling God you got the wrong guy? Oh, Lord, man, yeah, no. You want Carl. He's around the corner on the other hillside over there. No. God doesn't make mistakes. He is calling you to do what he is calling you to do. And yes, it is going to seem monumental. It is going to seem bigger than anything you can ever imagine in your life. Because listen, that's the great part. When that happens, you will trust God one step at a time because you don't know anything else to do. And see, that's the cool part. That's the part that many of us in this room have experienced. It's what we try to pass down to a new generation coming on board. Have you ever been in a situation that was really kind of freaking you out and somebody goes, it's all right, it'll be okay, just wait, relax. Hold on. Have y'all ever been in that situation? I remember one time I was training a rookie with the police department. And there was two of the biggest men, looked like Mount Vesuvius I've ever seen in my life, were fighting each other. And that rookie, we pulled up, and that rookie getting ready to jump out of the car said, whoa, hold on. And he's like, what? And I said, just sit still. He said, well, we got to get out there. He said, they're killing each other. I said, just sit still. And boy, he was antsy. He was chomping at the bit to go. We sat there for probably another 45 to 50 seconds. And I said, now let's go. So we got out there and we went and broke that fight up and took care of business as we were supposed to take care of it. And the rookie said, I want to know why you told me not to go. I said, did you see the size of those two guys? I said, look at me. Look at you. I said, no, you give them a few more seconds to tire themselves out, because if you don't, they're going to start beating on you like they're beating on each other. And I said, there's little things that we learn along the way. You want me to tell you how I knew that lesson? Because my training officer never told me to give them another 30 to 50 seconds. No. Now, by the time we got to them, they were too tired to do anything else except surrender. But you jump in there in the middle of it, hey, God's going to show you one step at a time what you need to do. Moses is having doubts. He doesn't think that he can accomplish what God has asked him to do. He began to do what we do. We begin to throw excuses. Remember that? He said, Lord, I can't do this. And I love what it was that God said to him. He asked him this. He said, what's in your hand? Remember, what was Moses? He was a what? A shepherd. What does a shepherd carry? A staff. Somebody asked me one time, they said, well, what does a shepherd carry a staff for? I said, I guess he could whack him on the head if he needed to. I mean, probably a lot of reasons, but it was the tool of the trade. That's what it was. And the interesting part about it is God asks this question, what is in your hand? Remember what Moses' response was? What did he say? Just a staff. I mean, I could imagine you could have added, well, just a staff, that's all. This is nothing important. This is just a tool of the trade. This is just something I've carried every day. I'm not afraid of it. I know how to use it. I've tended the sheep with it. What is the big deal about the staff? That was probably what was going through his mind. Let me tell you what God showed him. God showed him how ordinary things, like a staff, can become instrumental in a divine power and a miraculous transformation. I'm asking you, each and every one of you today, I ask each and every graduate that is going to be moving on for higher education or going out in the world. Let me tell you what I'm going to ask you today. I'm going to ask you the same thing God asked Moses. What's in your hand? What do you have that you can use for God's glory? And when I ask that question, you know what I often hear? You know what a lot of people will tell me? I don't have nothing. I'm like, I'm not buying that. You've got something. I've had people say, well, I can't do anything except smile at somebody. Well, guess what? If you can smile at somebody and you can be hospitable, God has a plan for you. And I'm not just talking about through his church. I'm talking about in life. How many of you all have some people in your life, and I hope and pray that everybody can raise your hand on this, that when you see them coming down the street, you smile immediately because they're just that kind of person. You can't help it. You know, when you see them, your whole day, the demeanor of your whole day changes. They're people you want to be around. Amen? Now, how many of you have some people in your life that when you see them coming, you want to cross the street and get away from them because they will suck all the joy right out of life? Okay? Now, I said that to say this. Which one are you? When people see you coming, do they smile? Do they want to be around you, or do they want to cross the street and avoid you? I tell you, man, I've said this. This is not just something recent. I think part of the problem is a lot of us who are Christian people, who are church people, look like we've been sucking on sour green persimmons. We don't look like we're enjoying the life that God has given us. We're not utilizing our talents and abilities for him. We're utilizing them for ourselves. But how are we utilizing for him? People oftentimes say, well, I can't do nothing. I'm a numbers person. All I am is a bookkeeper. Well, do you think that churches have to have bookkeepers? If you think that we don't, think again, because we do. You can use that for the honor and the glory of God. Do you think that we need somebody who can smile and shake a hand and say, I am glad to see you today and mean it? Yes, we do. We need people just like that. We need teachers. We need people who are willing to invest their lives in our young people and don't ever sit back and say, well, all I've got is a staff. Because you see what happened later on in life? That staff became who God was in the life of Moses. It represented who God was. Yeah, fast forward a little bit. Remember what happened when their backs were against the wall at the Red Sea. What was it that God told Moses to do? Lift the staff. Lift the presence of God. See, Moses didn't part the waters. He didn't part the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. You got to remember, too, that when it went on and Israel had to go into battle, remember the part where it said that as Israel was at battle, as long as Moses stood up on the rock and held high the staff of God, the presence of God, then Israel prevailed in battle. Y'all remember that? But remember what happened? Moses was human and he got tired. And as he got tired, his hands would start to come down because he needed to get a little blood in him. He might have to do a little shake, get a little blood in him. But when that rod started coming down, Israel started losing. You know what that says? It goes to show you once again, it wasn't about Moses. It was about God. And as long as he lifted up who God was and the presence of God to the people, then God prevailed. But when the rod came down, they began to lose. That was when Aaron and Hur decided, very important lesson in this as well. Remember, Aaron and Hur said, as the rod comes down, Israel's losing. So we need to keep the rod in the air. The presence of God needs to be what's lifted up. And here's the really cool part. It doesn't say this in the scripture, but do you realize that Aaron and Hur couldn't say, well, there's three of us. We can work 8-hour shifts. You can work first. I'll take second, and he can take third, and we'll move it all. He didn't say that. Do you realize that Aaron and Hur realized that the staff that was in Moses' hand was not the same value as that staff being in their hand? No, when God has called you to do something, only you can do it. See, all Aaron and Hur could do were become props. So what they did was they got a rock for Moses to sit on. And what they did was they stood beside him and they held up his hands as he held up the hands of God. You see, there are different gifts and talents and abilities. I could prove this right now, but it might put Vicky on the spot. I could sit back and say, Vicky, I tell you what, why don't you come on up and finish this sermon? I'll give you my rock star earpiece, and you finish the sermon, and I'm going to play the invitation hymn and sing. Brad, it's all right, you take five, I'm going to handle all this. How well do you think that would go? Well, in case you're wondering, I can say on 50% of the equation, that Vicky might do a good job finishing this message. I can promise you Roy's not going to do a good job playing that piano because I don't know how to play. I can't do a good job. I wouldn't do a good job leading the invitation because I can't sing. God did not give me that talent or ability. He gave me this one to use for his honor and glory. Now, I want to say this as an insert because I've seen this too many times. Stop trying to be something God didn't call you to be. I know so many people who what they'll do is they have a tremendous strength, but they will not play toward that strength. They would rather do this or they would rather do that. I knew a guy, wonderful man, musical, could use his talents and abilities for God, was doing that, but that's not what he wanted to do. He wanted to do something else. And I'm like, you are crazy. Find what it is that God has called you to do and do it. See, as graduates and maybe even us that are here today, our graduates stand at a crossroad. Maybe you do as well. Maybe you stand at a crossroad in your career or whatever. And standing at that crossroad has begun to raise questions about your trust. It's begun to raise questions about your capability. And maybe even raises questions about your divine purpose. And you're pondering these things. So you face, as you face future endeavors, those future endeavors may seem intimidating to you. Well, if they do, I want you to know that this passage right here offers insight into how faith, as well as divine empowerment, can transform the ordinary into the extraordinary. You know, it's real interesting that I was reading this because this was given to me by two very dear saints that are now with the Lord. Back in 2008, on the handle it says, from John and Nancy. John and Nancy Severs gave me this. But then there was something else very interesting that took place with it, because if you look at it along the twist and the turns, it actually has my life's verse carved into it all the way down through the ripples. It wasn't that way when John and Nancy gave it to me. It became that way when Mark Boone exercised his talent and abilities and put my life's verse on it, as well as the artwork that you see down on the bottom of it. It has the hand of God reaching down and another hand reaching back up to it. You know, I'll call it a couple of generations of love that has gone into this. And I've walked many, many miles with it. But you know what this reminds me of? This particular passage today. It reminds me of the fact that many, many moons ago, God said, here's what I want you to do. And it was all new to me. And I said, God, I don't have anything. I can't do this. As a senior in high school, I couldn't even stand up in front of people and talk without flush red sweating all over myself. And I'm like, you're calling me to be a pastor? I can't even talk to people. God, you're nuts. Hey, listen, God will let you call him nuts. He will. But he'll prove you wrong every single time. See, I surrendered to the call of full-time Christian service when I was 15 years old. When I was a senior, I was 18. And I still couldn't stand up in front of people. I didn't know how that was going to go. But God just wanted to know if I was willing. And he said, what do you have? Like, Lord, I have a voice. He said, yep. Will you give that to me that I can use it for my honor and for my glory? What do you got, Roy? I just have a voice. What have you got, Moses? I just have a rod. And see, God proves something. Remember what he told Moses? He said, take your rod, your ordinary rod, and throw it on the ground. And what happened? It turned into a snake. What did Moses do? Oh, quit trying to be so spiritual. It's not a hard question. He threw it down, turned to a snake. What did he do? He ran. Smart man. Smart man. But then what did God do? God said, wait a minute. Don't run. Not only do I not want you to run, I want you to do something else. I want you to what? You want me to pick this thing up? Not only did he say pick it up, he told him how and where to pick it up. How did he tell him to pick it up? Look, if I'm going against something that's going to try to bite me, I'm going to try to get control of the thing that's going to bite me. I'm going to try to grab it by the head. God told Moses to pick it up by the tail. Now, I know you see all these shows, people are picking them up and holding them out here. If I did that, it'd strike me in the side. I'd be too close because I got short arms. God told him what to do. So what he did, he goes over, listen, obedience is key. Not only for our graduates, but also for any of us that may be going into a career change or any particular specific thing in life. God calls us to be obedient. This is a snake Moses had just run from. God's told him to go pick it up. Can you imagine the courage it took to do that? You ask me to go pick up a rattlesnake, I'm going to question what you're asking me. Because I don't know how to do it. Neither did he. But God is calling for our obedience. And Moses was obedient. And when he took that, he reached down and he grabbed it by the tail. And what did he come up with? Rod. God told him again. He said, stick your hand in your cloak. Take it out. What do you see? Leprosy. Man, that's a life changer, isn't it? Lepers couldn't even be amongst the normal people. God says, now stick it back in your cloak again. He takes it out, and it says his skin was just like the rest of it. In other words, it was healed. It was normal, all just like that. God was showing the power that he had as long as we're obedient to what he calls us to do. And he says, I want to take ordinary stuff like a staff and turn it into something for me. So the biggest question remains, what is in your hand? God asked Moses this simple yet very, very profound question to shift his perspective. See, often we underestimate our current resources and abilities that God's already placed within us. See, God involves us by using what is available in us, because what is available in us is what he has given to us. No matter how mundane it may seem, God Almighty has a plan. We see this divine empowerment. We're talking about that because I'm way past time. Moses' staff became a symbol of God's power when surrendered to God. Did you get that? When surrendered to God, what power it had. In verses 3 through 9, the transformation of that staff back into a serpent and then back again, the same thing with the leprosy in his hand. God was showing him who he was and what kind of power he had. And finally, there was reassurance. You see, God gave Moses some reassurance. He provided him with signs to help calm his fear with what was going on, and to calm the skepticism of others. And these signs were reassurances that God was with him. When venturing into the unknown, God's presence and his promises are our strongest assurances. You know what? I've often said this. Sometimes it takes courage. And courage doesn't mean lack of fear. Did you get that? Courage means doing your job regardless of the fear. At times in life, people ask me, they said, were you ever afraid with some of the things that you had to do as a police officer? Yeah, but I still did my job. There were times that I would want to run the other way, but I knew that there were other police officers counting on me being there to do my job. There were other folks who were counting on me to be in the battle with them. God is counting on you being in the battle with Him and with other brothers and sisters. And when you are not there to do that, something is lacking. There were two different occasions in my time with the police department where, let's just say, guys ran when they shouldn't have run. The problem with it was the officers on the scene weren't busy saying, "Hey, we really needed your help over here." What they were saying is, "You turned your back and ran from me. You let me down. You were my cover. You were the one that was supposed to be taking care of me, and you turned and ran in the face of danger. I don't want you covering my back ever again." By the way, those two didn't make it past that day. They were relieved of duty that day because they could not be depended upon as well they should have. They didn't know about Preacher Boy Roy. Can we trust him? Well, when the fur was flying and the bullets were flying, guess who was there? I was there. You know why? Because those were my guys. And for the time, for such a time as this, that is where God had me to be. And I was going to be the best at it, plain and simple. And I said, "Guys, you can count on me. You can count on me." I bring that same thing as a pastor. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. There's a whole lot that are a lot better at this than I am. But let me tell you what I will promise you. I'll be there with you when the battle happens. Because that's what God calls us to do. And I will challenge you, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? God has given Central Baptist Church every single thing it needs to be all God wants it to be. Sitting right here in this room. How do I know that? Because the Word of God tells me that. So for our graduates as well as each and every one of us, as we stand on the brink of new beginnings, we need to remember that God knows. God knows what's in our hand because He gave it to us. Your education, the skills you have, the experiences that you have are all tools that He can use to fulfill His purpose through you. Isn't that cool? You have everything you need. Right now, you got to trust in His ability to transform the ordinary into something powerful, just like what He did for Moses. He can use your strengths. He can use your weaknesses for His honor, for His glory. And He will give us reassurances and promises along the way. See, when the road ahead looks daunting, seen a few of those, I'm sure you have as well. When that road ahead looks daunting, you need to trust that the presence of God goes with you, guides you, and empowers you. So finally, what's in your hand? I'd ask Ava the same thing. What's in your hand? What has God given you? I can't wait to see what God will do. Same thing for us. What has God given you? Some of us have been running around with the staff of God our whole life and never used it. Isn't that a tragedy? Listen, don't be embarrassed about it. Just say to God, look, man, I've been carrying this thing my whole life and I have not used it for your honor and your glory. But Lord, this is all I have. But will you take it? You know what He'll do? He will take it and use it for His honor and for His glory. So there's not a time in my life that I don't pick up this staff or one of the ones that Mr. Carl has made me over the years. And when I walk, that's what I'm reminded of. My verse, life's verse, is trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understandings. In all ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And then I add, over the years, I added verse 7 to that. You hear 3, 5, and 6 all the time. But you know what 7 says? 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know why? Because lessons learned over a lifetime. What is in your hand? Sometimes people sit back and say, well, it's easy for you to say because you already know. Well, you know what? It was a struggle getting there. I had to hear the same words from our Lord and Savior that you have heard today. I had to hear the story of Moses just like you have heard today. And don't sit back and say, well, I'm not Moses and God's not calling me to do something. Yes, He is. And when you sit back and have no idea what it is, I want you to consider what's in your hand. I still remember having that conversation with Peggy Nelson many years ago. Peggy said, you know what? She said, I came to know the Lord later in my life. You know, I was brought up Catholic, but she said, you know, I want to serve the Lord, but I don't know what to do. I said, well, I said, Peggy, what do you do? What's in your hand? And Peggy said, well, I love to crochet. I said, okay. How can you crochet for the honor and the glory of God? You should have seen her face. All of a sudden, the light came on. All of a sudden, next thing you know, Peggy is got a ministry together, some ladies crocheting in the church. And she said, what we can do, she said, we'll make some things for the homeless people. I said, that's great. Then Peggy got done with it, and she said, we made all this stuff for the homeless people, but we don't know how to get it to them. And I said, well, guess what, Peggy? I said, you got a group that goes the third Wednesday of every month to feed the homeless downtown. I said, you partner with them. They'll take the stuff. They'll get it out there on the field. Had the plan of salvation on every little article that they had. They made scarves. They made gloves. They made them little baby papooses for mamas that had babies. And they crocheted for Jesus. What's in your hand? What can you use for His honor, for His glory? During disaster relief, there were times we couldn't get stuff places, but airplanes could. Two pilots out of our church flying needed supplies into the mountains. What's in your hand? What has God given you to use for His honor, for His glory? That's where the rubber meets the road. I'm going to ask our musicians if they would come forward to take their places. We come into this time when we evaluate what it is that God has spoken to our hearts today. First of all, He needs to be your Lord. I can't say this enough. It bothers me in this day and age because of the confusion of what salvation is. There are so many people who think, well, you know, I'll just go to church and that makes me saved. No, it doesn't. There are so many people who sit back and say, well, I'll get baptized. Listen, baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is an act of obedience following salvation. People have come to me and said, I want to be baptized. You know what my first question is? Why? I want you to tell me why you want to be baptized. Because if you're sitting there thinking that that's what's going to get you into the kingdom of heaven, we need to have some conversations. Trusting Jesus is what gets you into the kingdom of heaven. Don't care how many sermons you preach, how many songs you've sang, how many choirs and orchestras you've led, how many Sunday school classes you've taught. The only people that will see the kingdom of God are those who have trusted Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He's the only way. There is no other way. Have you trusted Him? Listen, what that means is times in your life when He has convicted your heart, He has sought you, He is knocking on the door. Have you opened the door and allowed Him to come in? Have you said, yes, Lord, I realize that I am a sinner. I was born with a sin nature, and my eternal destination right now is hell unless something changes that. And the only thing that can change that is the shed blood of Jesus Christ through his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. And Lord, I confess to you today that I am a sinner. And Lord, I surrender my life to you. I am covered with the blood of the Lamb, and therefore one of your children. Can you remember a time in your life when you've done that? When you said, yes, Lord, I believe. If not, the time is today. You can call on him in prayer and say, Lord, today I know I'm a sinner. I'm asking you to forgive my sin and save my soul. Now help me, Father, to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, that's just the handshake. That's the beginning. You know, you need to grow in his love and his grace and in his word. That's the fun part. But listen, if you trusted Christ today, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We're not going to try to, you know, con you into anything. We're just tickled to death for you. We'd like to help you on that discipleship path, and don't let that word scare you. Like I said, if you do it right, it's a lot of fun. Maybe you're here today and the Lord just kind of gave you a swift kick in the seat. Maybe he's identified for some of you what's in your hand, maybe for the first time in your life, that you can use for him. So what are you going to do with it? Just keep toting it around as a rod? Or are you going to allow it to become what God has called you to do in your life? That for the rest of your life, you will lift high the rod just like Moses did. Whatever that rod is in your life, for his honor and for his glory. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I am just jacked up. Sorry, but I know from here forward, this is where we're going with it. Help me to utilize it for your glory. Listen, whatever decision you've made, I'm praying right now that you will find peace with God over what he has put on your heart today. Because if you came looking for a blessing, he's given it to you. He's had a word for each of us individually. What did he say to you today? During our time of invitation, we still believe in an altar call around here. This altar is always open. If you want to spend some time with the Lord right here, you're welcome to do that. If you need me, I am here. We would love to know if you had trusted Christ or if there's anything we could do to help you. That's what we're here for. But now's the time to make those decisions as we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 282, Living for Jesus. As you do business with God, as you make these things right, that when you so that you can walk away from here today knowing that you have dealt with him and he has dealt with you. You seek his face. You make those decisions you'll be glad you made when you stand before him. As you do that, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe. and our offering to Him. I'm also going to ask that our serving deacons make their way down to the front row at this time. Father, as we come to You again, we are so grateful, and Lord, You have given us so much. And Father, Your word tells us that as an act of worship to return to You the tithe and the offering, Lord, you want us to do that to test our obedience. Lord, You want to see if we are faithful with what we have. And Lord, I pray right now that we would stand in Your presence faithful over the many, many blessings monetarily and otherwise that You have given us. And Lord, help us as we return the tithe and offering to You to do so in an obedient manner. And then Lord, we pray that as Your church, that we would be good stewards of what belongs to You, that others may come to know You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Yeah, give her a hand. Show your appreciation to Vicki today. You know, as we come to this time where we gather around the Lord's table, we do so in obedience to what His Word commands us to do. And He says that as often as we do this in remembrance of Him. And He says as we gather around the table, we need to examine our hearts and examine our lives to make sure that we are worthy, but when I say worthy, I mean worthy because of Him. But yet when we approach Him, we make sure that we don't have things that are cluttering our lives up, that it might truly be an act of worship as we gather around His table today. So the Word says, but let a man examine himself. Would you take this time and these moments to examine yourself in a word of prayer as we begin our time around the Lord's table? Our Father, today we thank You for the stillness in Your house. Lord, the opportunity to just step back from the fast-paced life for just a few moments and Lord, just to concentrate on you. Lord, we know how special it is to have a place at the Lord's table that was purchased with the shed blood of your only begotten Son. Now today, Lord, as your word commands us to do so, we remember Calvary's cross. We remember the resurrection. We remember your body broken for us and your blood shed for us. Lord, may we be before you today in a worthy manner. And may you bless our hearts as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dave, would you ask the blessing upon the bread?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time where we can come together and celebrate this period of communion. Lord, we ask your blessing upon this bread, which represents your body that was sacrificed on the cross for our sins. Lord, we just thank you for your gift of eternal life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. The Word of God tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, as he was gathered with his disciples, it says that he gave thanks and he took the bread and he broke it. And he passed it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Brother Jimmy, would you ask the blessing upon the cup?
Father God, your word tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Father, we just thank you that you gave your blood and cleansed our souls. We give thanks in all that we do. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Word further states, it says, in a like manner also, when he supped, he took the cup, and he said to them, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Man, I'll tell you one thing, I love that. That's what frees us from sin, death, and hell. The new covenant. No longer would there need to be those animal sacrifices repeatedly. Jesus was the once for one and all perfect sacrifice through his shed blood. So he said, in a like manner also he took the cup when he supped, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. Word says, for as oft as we eat of the cup, eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we do show his death until he comes. Now, I'm gonna get you out of here real quick. I know we're a little bit over. David, would you help David recover the elements as I hit a couple of the announcements that we have? Probably going to change something up. See if you can find Blessed Be the Tie. If you always have that, don't you? Oh, it's up there. We're good. Okay, just a couple of things to let you know and to remind you of birthdays that we have coming up this week. On Friday, Shirley Chavis and Valerie Giles will be celebrating birthdays. Be sure to give them a hug, send them a text, give them a call, let them know. And then also Jeff and Jennifer Willard will be celebrating an anniversary this coming Saturday. Jeff is continuing to recover from knee surgery, so if you get a chance, you might want to just give him a howdy and congratulations, probably more so Jennifer. She's put up with Jeff for that amount of time. So at any rate, you know what it's like. Tonight, Bible study, 6 o'clock, adult Bible study, 6 o'clock p.m. With Pastor David. That will be, if you come in the front doors, down the hall and down there on the left. And we'll see what else we got going on here. I don't want to leave anything out, but I don't want to insult your intelligence with what's in the band rehearsal, 6:37. Okay. So basically, right after Bible study, band rehearsal as they prepare for the 4th of July celebration that we have. So be sure to be there, 7 o'clock if you're in the band. Ladies Connections, June the 11th, 4 o'clock p.m. is your next meeting over here in the FLC. And then the day after that, on the 12th, is the Ladies Monthly Breakfast at Cagney's on Friendly, and that's at 9 o'clock a.m. Also, you've seen the baby bottles. We've been talking about those. I know there's a couple of them up here. We collect this through Father's Day. We give these out Mother's Day through Father's Day. Anything that you put in there goes directly to the Crisis Pregnancy Center here in Greensboro. It's used to pay for ultrasounds for young women. And like I said, the numbers staggered me. In the 90 percentile of young women who are pregnant considering an abortion that have that ultrasound, in the 90 percentiles decide to have the child. And that's what this goes to, every dime. I mean, matter of fact, your baby bottle will go back to them just like you bring it. So we'll be collecting those on Father's Day. If you have them full, you can bring them back. You can set them here at the altar. We ask you to have a prayer for them, and then we move them over into a safe place until we get them all squared away and together. Also, mark your calendars. The 28th of June, that's this month, is our Central Baptist Spaghetti Supper. And we want you to be a part of that. So we'll give you a little bit more information as we get closer, but mark that date. And then Camp Carefree, June the 29th through July the 4th. We'll actually be doing the cooking and the feeding for those at Camp Carefree. If you're not a part of that and want to be a part of that, you can see Pastor David. And for those of you who are a part of it, we've been going through it. We want to make sure that you are background checked. We need you to do that for us as part of our policy, as well as part of the camp's policies to make sure that folks have a background check. You can see me if you need to have that done. I can give you the directions on how to take care of that. So we would certainly love to have you serve. I think there's a pile right now. It's probably about, 70-some people or something? There's different shifts. So don't worry, you're not going to be running all over each other in the kitchen. You kind of work and help out in shifts. Again, I want to say a special thank you to Miss Phyllis. I love you so much and your team for always making our experience with communion second to none. We appreciate you, Tammy, for going the extra mile. The bread that you partake of is not bought. Miss Tammy takes the time to make that to the biblical standard of unleavened bread, and we're so grateful for her and the times that they put into things. Also, you'll see these guys over here. If on camera we watched you, if you didn't tithe, they're going to shake you down at the doors. They got them all covered. No, they're not going to do that. It's historic for us at Central Baptist that when we have communion, we give it an opportunity to take up offering that goes to our benevolence fund. That helps those of our church that may find themselves in need at times. So if you feel led to contribute to that, you can just drop that into plates as you go out the door. 100% of that goes to the benevolence fund to help those that are in need. Is there anything else I have forgotten? July the 5th is the Patriotic Band concert that we have over here in the Fellowship Hall, and that starts at, we don't know yet. Well, 2 o'clock. Okay. 2 o'clock, and Jim will be directing the orchestra. They will actually be working on that. That's what practice and everything is for at this particular point. So if you are here and in town, bring a friend, come on by. Usually, is there hot dogs this time? Yeah. Hot dogs and apple pie. Don't get much more American than that. And maybe Jim might even have it up and be showing you a baseball game before the concert starts. It'll be baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and a patriotic band concert. You never know. But at any rate, come on out, join us for that. I'm making a quick change. Oh, yes, please do me one more favor and help Miss Phyllis out back there. If you would, please take your little communion cup as you go out. There's a garbage can right by the door. If you could drop that in there, that keeps them from having to traverse those 90-foot wide pews there, picking those little cups up. And we would certainly thank you so much for that. Now, I said, yeah, David usually comes up. He'll let us know anything we've forgotten, and we close in prayer. I can still remember something that was very, very special in my life, and every now and then we just spontaneously go this route. But the Word says that when they were finished at around the Lord's table, it says they all sang a hymn and went out. And as good old Baptists, what hymn do we sing as we go out? Then you know how we're going to end. Vicky's already got it in her head. Pastor David's going to come up. He's going to let us know anything else that I have forgotten or that we need to know. And then he will lead us in our dismissal of Blessed Be the Tie.
Would you stand, then?